Okay, cool. This is Jasmine Timister interviewing Richard Scarino. It is October 19th, 2021. Did I say your last name right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Awesome. All righty. So before we even get into the core questions, do you mind telling me just a little bit about like your early life, before Antioch, maybe how you heard about Antioch, maybe how you decided to go to Antioch?
Okay. I grew up in born in Brooklyn, then we moved to Teaneck, New Jersey, which is about 5 miles from Manhattan. My father worked in New York City before moving out to a company out in northern New Jersey. Family of three. I had an older sister who was ahead of me, and my parents didn't want me to go to the Teaneck High School. They just felt there were too many problems. So I ended up actually going to a very liberal high school or school. It was called the Center for Open Education, which is kind of like a precursor to have, requirement to having to go to Antioch. So it was a very liberal high school and whatnot. A lot of the teachings were the same as what I received at Antioch. Group discussions, forming opinions, and things like that. When it came time for college, I looked at various schools. I looked at state schools up in New England. I looked at other schools, but Antioch seemed to be a good fit. I went out there to Yellow Springs. I got a good vibe from the school at the time. I knew some people who were all going there. And there were also, even though I went to a small private high school, several of my classmates actually ended up going to Antioch. So there was some familiarity with going there. And I think it was the right choice to do. So, basic kind of childhood, good childhood. So no complaints there. And that's how I ended up going to Antioch. So
Awesome. And so you would say like it just kind of all made sense because you had friends go in there and, similar to your high school and everything.
right.
Gotcha.
I went and looked at some of the state schools. I went and I got into a couple like the University of Rhode Island, and I went there and I looked at the stadium and I looked at Fraternity Row and I looked at just the massive classrooms and the buildings, and I just knew this wasn't for me. I mean, I just knew maybe insecurities or whatnot that I feel I probably would have gotten lost in a big university setting. I had developed a friendship with someone who was a professor at the University of Michigan. I went there and, to see 60,000 people go to attend a football game, I thought this would be way overwhelming for me. And I had actually a very good cousin of mine. She was going to school at the University of Kentucky down in Louisville or Lexington. And I went and visited her a couple of times from Antioch. And I just knew that a big state school, I think I would have gotten lost. So, just reaffirmed why I thought it was a good school to go to. And it was a good choice. It really was. I think the timing to go there, the size that the school was, and the school was still very vibrant, was good. So.
Gotcha. And you said, you had a good childhood. Did you like remain close with your family, even through
Sure.
like Antioch and beyond?
Oh yeah. My father just recently died a year ago at the age of almost 95, and I got very, very close. I was very lucky, they both accepted and had no problem with me being gay, even at a young age. In fact, my mother was more hurt that I didn't tell her years earlier, but that's she got over it. And my father and my mother and I, they were married for over 65 years. Now we became very close. I became very friendly with them. I got to know them as people, not just as parents. So, and they grew up in an interesting time. I, during World War II, my mother, was in New York City all the time, going out and having fun and whatnot. My father was in the Navy, but they were very kind of New York people, and they had a nice life, so to speak. And they made a good life. My parents loved my husband that I had for over 25 years. And in fact, I think they loved him more than they loved me sometimes. But they really were very, they embraced him and me. And so, you know, I know I'm very thankful for that in life. You know, the thought that a parent wouldn't love their child because they were gay or different or transgender or whatever, it's just, you know, love is love. And that's the way my parents felt. So they were, I was very lucky to get them in the lottery of life.
Yeah, that's great. we can go ahead then and go on to the first core question. Okay. Antioch College has a reputation for having one of the most radically progressive campus cultures in the country. Would you agree with this reputation? And what was it like arriving as a new student?
Back when I started in 1976, I lived in North Dorm in North Hall, and I had a PF, Peripheral Fellow, I think it stood for. It was basically like a dorm counselor, and there were two of them. And on our first night of college, we gathered in what was, I guess, a common area, and we went around and we told ourselves about, you know, one another and whatnot. And, you know, it wasn't that very different from my high school in the sense that there was a lot of sharing and things like that, except here I was with a group of people from all around the United States, all in the same place. Radical, I wouldn't say, to me it was very radical because it wasn't far different from my high school. I found it, I found people were more vocal and things like that. I was maybe now looking back, taken back by certain things that people demanded or wanted on campus. But, you know, some of the things that people demanded and wanted on campus in 1976 are not far different from what is being done on campuses today. When I went to Antioch, the women's group, and it was spelt with a Y, not to use, you know, and things like that, you know, you could maybe call that very radical. But today you have women's groups who are protesting what goes on at maybe college fraternities. And that's not very different. And then Antioch back in 1976 didn't have a very large African-American community, but the rights and wanting to be visible and recognized is not very different than what's being done today. You know, still the same struggles. So where am I going with this? So the sense of, you know, what people were fighting for, what you may call radical, are still the same struggles that people are fighting for today. You know, maybe there's just a better platform in which to express yourself, you given social media. You know, had social media been around when I went to Antioch, I don't know if it would have been a very different school, you know. But I'm glad it wasn't there. I'm glad we didn't have social media when I went to school. I'm glad we didn't have phones, you know. So it taught you to talk to one another, you know, and to express your concerns. But radical, I don't think is a term I would use. Just progressive thinkers, you know. That's what I would call it. I don't like the term radical because it has certain connotations. What Antioch taught me to do was to think, to question, to ask, you know. And I understand there is no place today for liberal arts education. you know, parents are now paying $70,000 a year for an education. They want results, you know. So there isn't the luxury of going to a four-year school where you get to think and talk about things and then maybe go on to graduate school. And I understand that. You know, it's just a different world. But I would agree that Antioch teaches you to think and to express yourself and to be who you are, whatever that may be.
So, yeah, talking about the sort of progressive aspects of Antioch, did you have certain feelings about like the shared governance structure at Antioch? You know, did that like strike you as like a positive progressive thing, or what, were you kind of indifferent about it?
I felt like, you mean the shared governance between, what was the call between the student body and whatnot? It gave everyone a voice. It gave a platform for the administrators, for the students and whatnot. And that's the way government should be. It should be shared by all. You look at our government today, it's shared by a few in Washington, but it doesn't reflect what the people want. So at least Antioch gave a platform for everyone. And that's, you know, an elected official today in Congress or the Senate, you know, they were supposed to represent the people's opinions, but they don't. If you take a majority, you know, you take a majority. Antioch, at least, you know, you had different people coming to the table to decide on community issues and community affairs. And some people were very vocal about, trying to think, when I went, there wasn't the community, there weren't a lot of big major issues. The school just kind of ran. You know, we weren't facing, walkout strikes, things like that. You know, but there were groups on campus who, were more vocal and organized than others and wanted a place at the table to make decisions. So, no, I think it was a good form of government for students and for the administration to be able to come together.
So. Okay. let's see. I'll go on to the next question, which is kind of a long one. How do you think this culture affected you during your time attending the college and your life beyond, referring to the, more progressive culture, which, as you said, you're kind of already inundated with by your high school, if you will. And did it affect your understanding of your own gender and sexuality?
Well, I knew I was gay before I came to college. And I was comfortable being gay. Maybe I didn't tell everyone, but I knew what I liked. There wasn't any confusion as far as, am I bi or, whatever. I knew I liked men. What I wasn't prepared for was actually one of my PFs in my dorm was part of a radical fairy group on campus. And I lived in North Hall, and I had a clear view of the student union. And on the weekends, he and two other guys would dress in full drag to go to, to get something to eat. And I was thinking, well, I know I'm gay. I don't think I feel I need to make a statement. Or maybe I do need to make a statement. And so actually I had a little gender confusion as far as, I'm gay, but I don't think I want to be radical, and there was nothing wrong with that. It just threw me for a loop. And there was a gay center on campus, and I didn't go to it for the first year only because I was overwhelmed by a lot of other things. I went to school for 3 months. Then I had my first co-op, which was terrible. And then I came back for 6 months. And then I went on my second co-op back to Chicago, which I hated, but I then learned to love. So, you know, I didn't get involved in any other groups. And I did my second year and beyond, I got involved. But, you know, I was taken back at Antioch, was thinking, well, I know I'm gay. I'm comfortable. You know, I accept the fact I'm gay. But I didn't think, well, do I need to be radical about it? Do I need to put on a dress and make a statement and things like that? And at Antioch, I met my first boyfriend. And actually, we went on co-op together. Sounds like an Antioch story. We went on co-op together in Washington, D.C. And we would take the metro. We lived on Capitol Hill. And we would take the metro. And I was, forgot where, I think I got off at Foggy Bottom. And he went all the way to DuPont Circle or something. And we started kissing one another. Or not kissing, you know, gave goodbye, a goodbye kiss on the metro. And I thought, well, that's kind of radical. But, you know, some people would stare, some people wouldn't. Now, this would have been 1978, 79. And, you know, maybe that was a radical thing to do, you know. But I was comfortable with my sexuality. So, you know, maybe Antioch taught me to be who I am beyond, you know, the college, you know, the confines of the campus, college campus. So, you know, in answer to that question, let me read the question again. Affect your understanding. Yeah, I know, you know, you say gender and sexuality. I know there were a lot of people on campus who at the time were, I don't want to say experimenting, exploring their gender identity. And some people who, you know, identified as bisexual, one person in particular I know who identified as bisexual, was living with a woman on campus, but now he's totally gay. And I figure, you know, great. You know, he got to experiment or he got to explore his sexual feelings. You know, so maybe college was a good place for that. And colleges probably still are a good place to explore who you are as a person. So, you know, if you go to college being fluid as far as your sexuality, and but it helps you identify who you are, you know, and it gives you the strength to want to come out, you know, especially if a person is, let's say, possibly trans, but, you know, you couldn't do it at home, but college allows you to do that, and you know that beyond college that there's a support mechanism for you, then that's a good thing. So in answer to your question, not anything. I think Antioch was good for my sexuality during college and beyond and to today. You know, I mean, I'm 40 years outside of Antioch now, so, you know, I'm on the downhill slope of life. But I still believe in being who I am and not being any different for anyone else. So if that's radical, I don't know. But, you know, I am who I am, as they say. Whatever play that's from.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, radical is a totally relative term, subjective. And so what is considered radical is constantly changing and can fluctuate right from moment to moment. So, you mentioned a bit about your co-ops. Did you have other experiences on your co-ops as well that may have, you know, kind of influenced how you maybe expressed your gender or sexuality, maybe influenced your, you know, just general perception of yourself or anything like that, any kind of meaningful experiences?
Well, my first co-op was on the south side of Chicago. I was working in a recycling place. I was living in a group house with a bunch of people, and it's actually, I felt very alone, as I knew I was gay and whatnot, but I was living in a household that, I don't know if they were gay friendly or not. I just didn't feel like I belonged there. I wasn't comfortable there. So on the weekends, I would escape, even though I didn't have much money. I would go up to the north side of Chicago, and I found the places where gay people go and things like that. So I had my escape, and I had my balance. And I think maybe I took that first co-op experience between living in, what was that? It was a, you know, a strange household, but, you know, being restricted about my lifestyle or not wanting to share it, but I had my escape. And when I went back to Chicago again for a 6-month co-op teaching, you know, I was who I was at work. You know, I didn't feel I needed to say, I'm here today. My name's Richard Scarino. I'm a gay man, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm 19 years old. 20 at that time, 1920. And tell people all about myself, because I had my work and I had my private life. And I carried that pretty much through to my professional life. You know, I worked for many years. You know, people knew I was gay, but it wasn't a part of who I was. And I've worked with people who, the first thing they tell you that they're gay, it's like, yeah, sure, okay, whatever. You know, that's, you know. And because of I handled a lot of human resources things, you know, people would tell me things right away about themselves that I'm thinking, you know, I'm not a prude, but it's like, okay, that's great for you. And maybe this came from Antioch too, because, you know, I mean, people were who they were, and it didn't matter to me, you know. I mean, you just got to keep in the back of your mind, you want to be treated as, you know, you treat someone the way you would want to be treated, you know, and you respect all living things. And I think, you know, Antioch taught me that, my high school taught me that, and now into my work, you know, it's like I work with people, yeah, you know, maybe they're not so nice, but, you know, I still treat them with respect. I wouldn't say I don't have a mean bone in my body, but I don't have resentment toward one group of people or another. Well, maybe far right Republicans, but you know, I try to think everyone has their opinion. You know, and everyone, you know, at least under our Constitution, they are entitled to their speech, free speech. You know, unless it's just complete lies and, you know, and things like that. But, you know, everyone should have a voice. So, but, so what were we saying? We were talking about, so my co-ops, you know, they had a good influence on my life. I got to experiment and do different things that, you know, gave me the co-op system, which was excellent when I went there, you know, the number of jobs and opportunities. Could have gone anywhere, could have done anything, you know. So I'm grateful for that opportunity, because at the time I really didn't know what I was interested in, per se, or what I thought I was interested in. When I actually got to do it, it was like, no, I don't like this, you know, but, it was a great system. It was great. You know, the co-op system was excellent, but otherwise that, no bad experiences from my co-ops, no prejudice, no nothing. You know, my co-ops were limited to Chicago twice, North Carolina once for a co-op, and then the rest of my co-ops I took in Washington, D.C., because I got into a co-op program at the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, and I signed a deal with them that if I give up all my co-op, future co-ops, and come to EPA, when I get out, I can maybe have a full-time job. But it turned out it was 1980, and Ronald Reagan got into office and put a hiring freeze across the board for everything. So here I was graduating Antioch 6 months earlier than I should have, so that I can go to DC to work full time at EPA and change the world. And it was all taken away from me. So I had to scramble when I graduated from Antioch. I still went to Washington, D.C. because I didn't know of any other place to go. And, you know, scrambled to find a job. So, but all had good, you know, positive effects on me, you know. And every job I've had since Antioch, and I've only ever had I've only had three jobs since Antioch in 40 years, have all been positive, you know, and I found my niche at every place I've worked. So, but I don't think I'm far different. I don't think my behavior or the way I act is far different from 40 years ago. I'm just look older and grayer now.
That's great that there are, you know, such positive experiences. I was actually considering asking you, you know, if Reagan coming into office had any significant impact on your time at Antioch, but that is quite a big impact on your career.
He ruined, but you know, in a way, I worked at EPA and I realized I'm not cut out for the government. You know, I worked for a man with his PhD, and he would give me a pencil and say, okay, take this pencil and bring it to that office. And then he didn't want to see me for the next day. And so the one thing, you know, the co-op allowed me to do is realize I cannot work for the federal government. Now, had I had the non-Antioch brain and just think about, you know, a pension and healthcare and all those other niceties that go with just keeping my, you know, my nose down to the ground, you know, grindstone, and just do what I'm supposed to do and wait 30 years to get a pension and all the other bennies and whatnot, maybe I would have liked it. But maybe Antioch taught me that there's more to question, like, why am I just taking this pencil and moving it to, you know, from one office to another, and that's all he wants me to do. And I realized after I left EPA, I actually went to work for a government consulting firm, and I was doing work for the National Science Foundation. And it was the same way there. These were people I was working with. All they thought about was when they're going to retire. And they were probably miserable in their jobs. And I was a government contractor, so, you know, I wasn't there all the time. But I knew, you know, I think I had made the right decision by not trying to pursue a job in the federal government. So actually, I kind of thank Reagan for you know, doing the hiring freeze, because if he didn't, I probably would have been stuck, knowing me, at EPA without really thinking too much, you know. But now at 63 and thinking about retirement, you know, a pension and healthcare don't sound so bad. You know, those guarantees, because, you know, it's the world we live in. But no, Reagan was, he was just bad, you know, and for the early 80s and for the start of AIDS and whatnot, and never recognizing it. I mean, even when I was at Antioch, I did a radio show. They had the Gay Hour, or Gay at WYSO, the radio station, which then was on campus. And basically what it was is we read news from the Blade and the San Francisco paper and things like that, and the Advocate. So it was just re-reporting news. So, you know, that was something to get involved with, things like that. So, no, I don't know what the point of that was, but another little tangent. It was good. You know, we had gay dances back then at Antioch, you know, in the cafeteria, and those were fun. There was a core group of people. Antioch had a very vibrant gay community back then. I would say at the gay center, I forget when we met, maybe once a month, once a week, or once every 2 weeks, or once a month or something, we would have between 10 and 15 people at the meeting. mostly men, some women. A lot of women didn't feel comfortable going because there were men there. But, you know, if you tallied up everyone on campus who was either gay or bi, or gender fluid or whatever you want, it was a pretty big core of the community, you know. So there was, you know, there was no prejudice. I didn't encounter anyone who was not gay. I knew I was gay. I'd never, you know, I was never bullied. I was never anything, you know. But it could be because, you know, I was a kind of, well, in my day, I had a little more muscles and I was a bigger person and things like that. So, no, it was good. The only one I encountered, I had a roommate who found out I was gay. I told him I was gay, and for some reason he couldn't deal with it. And then he got a girlfriend, and she turned out to be a lesbian. And then he got married, and then he got divorced. And I thought to myself, isn't karma a bitch?
That's very funny. Then they got, so they, he didn't know that she was a lesbian until after they got married.
No. And and here I had a wonderful relationship with a man who was the love of my life for over 25 years, but he passed 3 years ago. And I wouldn't trade one day of that relationship for anything else.
So. I'm sorry to hear about his passing and about your father's passing.
They were all good runs. You know, I'm actually down here with my two sister. My husband was part of nine children, and I'm actually down here on vacation with two sisters and a brother. So I'm very thankful for the family that, you know, has been created because of him, you know, and I'm thankful for that.
That really ties in with the next question, actually, which is, since graduation, have you built a family and or career? And if so, do you relate these aspects of your life to your time at Antioch in any ways?
Yeah, I mean, it's the old saying, you're born into a family, but it's not necessarily the family that you have. And I was born into a good family. I had issues with my sister, as did my parents. And I had a brother who was a special needs brother. He was born in 1950, and they labeled him as mentally retarded. And so, you know, this was the family I was born into, and they were a good family. Maybe sometimes not as close as I thought we would be and things like that, but we did get close. I met a man over, now it's like 29 years ago, and we dated for 3 years. We lived together for over 21. We were married. His family was one of nine children, and between his family and my family and some friends, you know, we created the family that was ideal. You know, kind of like taking it from Antioch, we create a community. And it may not be traditional, and it may not be the norm. You know, there's no wives or children or husbands and children, things like that. But it works for me, and I know that I have people to rely on. You know, and the same way at Antioch, you know, you're thrown together with people, and some you're going to get along with, some you're not. But you build your community. I know for one or two quarters at camp at Antioch, I chose not to take the food plan. And I joined with three or four other people, a food co-op within the town of Yellow Springs. And we made our meals. I think we did dinners together. And so I took my breakfast and lunch in the dining hall, and then dinner we made a communal meal together. I was living in Birch at the time, I believe, or no, another. I was living in the one next to Birch, which I think is torn down now. But we had a kitchen, and we would have our communal meal at night. And, you know, that was the family or the community I built while I was there. And it was very nice. And I think of that today, you know, going back to the question, you know, you're born into a family. It's not necessarily the family you have. And, you know, I've built my life around only a few friends that I could truly call a dear friend that I could call anytime. And I think, you know, the thing with social media, people think that they have a lot of friends. You know, you may look on Facebook, oh, I have 2,200 friends. But when it comes to counting on people in your life, everyone only has a few people that you could actually truly call your family. So maybe that was my takeaway from Antioch. I mean, I certainly live by those rules today, and I'm almost 64. So, and as far as my career, you know, I think I've enjoyed what I've done. It's not the career I planned. I just fell into it naturally, and I did it very, very well. I was working at a government contracting place, and a friend of mine was starting a new company, and they needed a financial controller. And I did that for over 21 years for this company. It was a brand new company, you know, just started. I was employee number two, and we sold the company 2 years ago to a larger company. And, you know, I like the people I work for. It's not necessarily the culture I really like, but, you know, I look at it this way. I want to retire when I'm 65, and I'm guaranteed because of the merger that I can have a job until I'm 65. So, but I'm very, you know, I've become friends with people I'm friendly with. And the people I work with, when my husband passed, they all knew. You know, I didn't make any secrets about it or things like that. And they were all very, very understanding, you know. And even with the new company, I, you know, when they try to hint what my interests are, you know, I'm very honest with them. And if they don't like it, and if they say something behind my back, I can't control that. But I am who I am. You know, I may not wear a badge on my chest that I feel like I need to tell people that, you know, but I'm not going to make up some story. You know, I'm in some ways a very private, not private, but just because I've been burned by some people in a previous job where I had a disagreement. I keep things very close to the vest.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Let's see. I think we'll go ahead and go on to the next one, the next core question, okay. which is, are there any ways in which you think your life would be different had you gone to a more typical liberal arts college? So you kind of talked a little bit about that, of like, you know, saying that you made the right decision by going to Antioch. Go ahead.
Going to another liberal, I mean, I actually did get into Middleburg College, and I went up there to Vermont, and I looked at it, and I really, really liked it. I think it was the cost at the time, and, you know, this is the 1970s, so the cost was like $10,000 or so. It was expensive, and I gave that some consideration. You know, I got into a small school in Maine and whatnot. Going to any other liberal arts school, I don't think my life would have been so different had I gone to a big state school or something, or even Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, which itself is labeled a liberal arts school. I think the fact that, you know, so much of campus life was lived around fraternities, sororities, football games, things like that. I don't think I would have liked that. I don't think that was me, you know. It's just not who I am. I mean, I noticed with the guys I work with, all of them pretty much went to big state schools. And I noticed that we go out to lunch once a month. And when there's lack of anything else to talk about, it always goes back to football and sports and things like that. And it's just, you know, it's not like I dislike sports. It's just, I don't care about them. I don't care about professional football and things like that. So, I mean, my life would have been only different had I gone to a bigger kind of state school or something like that. I probably would just been a clone and gone to do a job and stay in it for 30 years and, you know, supposedly be happy at the end of it. But, you know, now I'm coming to the end of my career, another year and a half or so to go, and I'm very happy with what I've done. I've had challenges. I've met some nice people. I've never really been in a job where I hated going in or I didn't want to go in. I mean, for the 21 years that I was employee number two in this firm, I mean, I looked forward to going to work every day. And I was who I was when I went to work. You know, I was, you know, no different from how I am. So let me look at the question. Are there any ways? No, I think my life would have been the same had I gone to any other liberal arts college. I think my life would have been very different had I gone to a more structured, organized state school or one where there was an emphasis on, you know, sports and fraternities and things like that. So, you know, I'm kind of thankful that Antioch didn't have that. But another liberal arts school probably would have turned out about the same. I think the thing that drew me to Antioch was the co-op system at the time. You know, I had some interests. I got to explore them. Had I gone to a regular school without the co-op system, I think I would have struggled to figure out what I wanted to do in life. But what I studied and what I ended up doing in life were two different things. But I had a knack for numbers, and I was very good. I know accounting sounds boring, but I was very good at it. And it allowed me, you know, the job paid me so that I could travel and do things. And I'm very thankful that I've got to travel around the world and visit places that, you know, that gave me the opportunity to do that.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you studied accounting then from like the moment, you know, you were like an accounting major from like the start?
No, I was actually a biology major at Antioch, and I thought I was going to work at EPA, and which I did. And then, you know, Reagan came in and he put the kibosh on that job. But then I got a job at the National Science Foundation, and I was a project manager. And all I basically did all day, I had people working on the project, and I was managing their time and the budgets and things like that. And it came naturally to me. And then an opportunity came up for me to be a controller for a small trade association. And I was there for over 15 years, where I just did all the accounting and everything. And, you know, I thought, well, this is easy. You know, I mean, adding 1 + 1 is always 2 sometimes, you know, so it's very, very easy. It came very natural to me. I took graduate courses in finance and administration at GW. I furthered my education. And then the opportunity came to become the chief financial officer for this new consulting firm, and I took it, and it was from the ground up, you know, opening day, building a company, and we did from nothing to, you know, pretty successful, and I did that. So accounting was just a ways to, and finance and administration were just a way to fund my other interests. You know, it allowed me to go to China. It allowed me to go to Europe. It allowed me to go, you know, to Vietnam. So, you know, it was a means to an end, kind of. And it's, you know, at least gave me an opportunity to live a life that's been relatively comfortable. I wouldn't say wealthy, but, you know, comfortable. I'm fortunate and thankful for everything I have.
That's great. let's see. I think we'll go ahead and go to the last question then, which is there any message that you would give to the current and future students of Antioch, if you could? And any message for the current and future LGBTQ plus youth in general?
I think it would be, you know, be who you are, you know, that maybe you haven't found your community yet, that, but there is a community out there that will accept you for who you are and for your beliefs. And you may stumble and you may come into some resistance or prejudice, but eventually it's out there. You know, even if you think you're living in a place that won't accept you, there's always someone that will, you know, and be thankful for all that. And, you know, the hate and the prejudice that's out there even now, you have to keep on saying it has to get better, you know. It may not. You know, we were having a discussion. We're down here in North Carolina, and we were talking about the last time when I was here in North Carolina was for a co-op in 1980. And I was teaching at down the North Carolina Marine Resources Center, which is down the Atlantic from where I am in the Outer Banks. And Jesse Helms was the president, was the governor of the state before he was a senator. But he was a horrible governor at the time. You know, he was homophobic. He was misogynistic. He was all the buzzwords to describe a horrible, horrible person. And, you know, you have to think, oh, he's going to die one day and life will get better. No, there's always a new Jesse Helms to come along, you know, just in a different format. But for every Jesse Helms, there's a community out there that believes in who you are. So I think for future Antioch students, you know, maybe you go there because you think it'll be a safe environment and maybe the world won't be so accepting, but it is, you know, and when you get out from Antioch, there are communities out there that will accept you for who you are. So it does get better. I know that's a cliche saying. That's about my only message. And, you know, you have a great future ahead of you, all future students.
That's great. I really appreciate, you know, you taking the time to do this interview. And I appreciate, you know, the stories you've shared. Is there anything else that, you know, we wish that we covered or touched on, you know, before we stop?
No, I mean, you didn't really ask about campus gay life, but it was good. And, you know, I'm thankful for the group of friends. You had met one of the people when they were recently out at Antioch. And there were other people went to Antioch with. And we had a fun time. You know, we were part of the campus life. But sometimes we didn't see each other during the week, but maybe on the weekends, you know, if someone had a car, one person had a car in particular, an old Chevy, and we would pile in and go to Dayton, have a fun night out. So there was a nice balance of campus life and gay life beyond the Antioch campus. The only sad part is, you know, many of the people who I went to college with had passed because of HIV and AIDS. And that's the saddest thing, you know, about the time when I went to Antioch, you know, because it was the 70s and people, you know, there wasn't HIV or AIDS. Then people graduated and then they went off, and then the early 80s came. And I could think of a half a dozen men who had passed. But the nice thing is that I talk with several of the students today, and we still bring their names up. So at least in spirit, we keep them alive, and it's good to remember them. But no, it was a fun campus. There were some good times. You know, I think thankful that, you know, really never saw any outright prejudice at the fact that we were gay, you know. So it was a good time and a good place to be at the time. And you know, when I was at Antioch in the 70s, I mean, you know, there was the whole Anita Bryant thing was going on. I went to a high school actually to speak about being gay, a local school around the Dayton area. And their first comment was, well, you don't look gay. Yeah, I never knew how to answer that question. But I dressed the way in college that I dress now, basically jeans and a shirt, you know. So I think it was good to do that. You know, I guess you would call it outreach at the time, you know. But, you know, the sad thing is now people, especially for gay youth, you know, or you know, lesbian, trans, gay youth, you know, who don't have a place at their family table, you know, and encounter prejudice from those that are supposed to be their family and understand them. So Antioch was good for that. You know, it was, everyone had a place and everyone was well respected, I think. That's it.